Welcome back to The Savvy Psychologist. I'm Dr. Ellen Hendrickson, and every week I'll help you meet life's challenges with evidence-based research, a sympathetic ear, and zero judgment. Heartbreak hurts, plus it affects our judgment. Suddenly, driving by our ex's house just to see, posting overwrought poetry on our blog, and a six-pack nightcap all seem like good ideas. Is there a quicker and healthier way to make it through the heartache? Yes, we just have to make it through the three emotional stages of being dumped. Let's call the first stage protest. There's disbelief, anger, and outcry. We spend a lot of time pretending not to care, and we fantasize equally about revenge and getting back together. Next comes despair. This is when it finally sinks in. It's over. We feel sad, hopeless, lethargic. A pint of ice cream passes as dinner. We cry into our journal or on our most patient friend's shoulder. But then there's recovery. We get off the floor, shave our legs or our scruffy facial hair, head back to the gym, reactivate our eHarmony profile, and genuinely move on. We're off the couch and back into life. But what do we have to do to arrive intact at that last stage? In the aftermath of a breakup, it feels like we'll never be ourselves again. But have hope. By request from listener T, here are four ways to heal a broken heart. Tip number one is actually break up. So, interestingly, recovery from a breakup depends not on how much you loved each other, on how long you were together, but instead, it depends on to what extent you accept the breakup. Once you truly accept that the two of you are no longer together, you can move on in a calm, clear-thinking way. But if you can't accept it, one thing that can help to achieve this is a clean break. Go cold turkey. Truly step out of the relationship, even though it's painful. Go no contact, at least for a while. Why? Like that one Yoda meme says, if onto your ex's Facebook page you go, only pain you will find. So, go ahead and unfollow and unfriend. It is okay to delete their contact info. It's not immature, it's protective. And you can always add it back after your broken heart has healed. Now, I hear you. No contact is really hard. Why? Because it generates a lot of negative emotion in the short term. It cuts off hope that our ex will change their mind. It makes us preemptively jealous. What if they're moving on and we're not? Plus, there's often an urge to break the rules, to sneak a peek on social media, to hang out just this once, which inevitably leads to having sex, even though you know you shouldn't. Now, speaking of sleeping with an ex, a study out of the University of Arizona found that for exes who can't move on, sex with an ex made them feel better. And this makes sense. Sex is a sign that there is still hope. When we're heartbroken, but our ex is still willing to sleep with us, we take it to mean all is not lost. Therefore, it makes sense that in the same study, participants who couldn't move on and weren't having post-breakup sex felt worst of all. So essentially, in the wise words of Dua Lipa, if you're under him, you ain't getting over him. If your partner isn't over you either, at least you're both in the same boat. But if one of you knows you're never ever getting back together, and the other still has hope, don't string them along. It's not fair. So, to sum it up, no contact is only needed if you're having trouble moving on. If you truly accept that the relationship is over, you feel whole, free, and relieved, then staying friends is fine and healthy. But if you're stuck in can't accept it, please come back breakup purgatory, for your own health, your next stop should be no contact. Tip number two, feel what you feel. So far, we've mostly been talking about behavior, social media stalking, sex, texting, but what about emotion? Breakups hurt a lot, but for better or worse, the way to get over a breakup is to go through the pain. It's hardest at first, which isn't fun and isn't fair. But know that it's okay to feel angry. It's safe to be sad. It's okay to ugly cry, rail at the unfairness of being dumped, or hate them and miss them at the same time. Just don't let your feelings cross the line into behavior. Don't key their car, post revenge porn, or boil their bunny. It doesn't help. Plus, it makes you look unstable. Thankfully, feeling bad doesn't last forever. Timelines are different for everyone. But one study that followed college students after a breakup found that anger dissipated within 7 to 18 days, while sadness declined slowly over the course of a month. Okay, and now back to tip number 3. Rebound for the right reasons. Rebound relationships have a bad reputation, but a 2015 study found that getting into a new relationship quickly can actually be healthy. A rebound can make you feel more confident and desirable just when you need it most, and can help create a much-needed sense of resolution. It's an example of putting behavior before thinking in the best way possible. When you see yourself getting into a new relationship, you think, well, I guess I must be over my ex, or I wouldn't be doing this. What's more, in the study, the faster the participants got into a new relationship, the greater the boost. Now, asking why you're rebounding is key. No-nos include getting into a rebound relationship as revenge, as a way to force yourself to heal, or, if they remind you of your ex, as a substitute for your old relationship. But rebound relationships can be ideal if they help you bounce back from feeling rejected and worthless. There's nothing like feeling attractive and in demand when you're a bit shaky. And they're especially helpful if your previous relationship was bad. So if you're like Kelly Clarkson and can breathe for the first time after your breakup, go ahead and rebound. And finally, tip number 4 is remember and build on who you are. When a relationship falls apart, we simultaneously fall apart as individuals. When you build a life with a partner, they naturally become your go-to confidant, companion, and supporter. And when you break up, you lose their knowledge of how to make the perfect smoothie, their razor-sharp sense of direction, their pestering you to exercise, and their ability to make you laugh even when you're grumpy. Therefore, something called self-contraction happens after a breakup. It means that gaps appear in your knowledge base, resources, and sense of self. Therefore, the antidote is to expand again. Get out there, not necessarily dating, but simply doing stuff. Do things you used to love but might have let go of. Try things you've been meaning to try for years. Meet new people to date or simply to hang out with. Indulge in post-breakup cliches like a new hairstyle, new bedsheets, or personal training sessions. Stay in and decorate your nest, or go out and explore the world. Oh, and try out some killer smoothie recipes. No two ways about it, breakups are the worst. But you know what they say about what doesn't kill you. Hey, someone should write a song about that. Thank you for making The Savvy Psychologist a part of your life. Savvy Psychologist is strictly for informational purposes and doesn't substitute for mental health care from a licensed professional. As always, have a lovely week, and I will see you here next Friday for a happier, healthier life.